Thank you for listening to a dog training podcast that is like no other. We talk real, we share information based on 25 years of training dogs and working with their owners. Sit back and enjoy our podcast that will create more questions than you started with. If you find yourself wanting more, please join us in our dog community at dogtraining360.com and ask all of your questions. We hope to see you there. Hi y'all, this is Joe Dickinson, dog trainer of 25 years, dog behavior specialist, cowgirl, horse trainer, animal and people lover, book author, entrepreneur, and business owner. I am talking to you from, well, anywhere in the world, actually. I do travel a lot. But my home base is my family ranch in Ogden, Utah, where I live with my humans, our 5 dogs, 7 horses, 3 cats, and many sheep and chickens. My passion is helping people build the human-animal bond through connection and training. I love teaching people how to train their own dogs, and my specialty is knowing that there is not just one way to do this. Dogs and people are all individuals. My goal is to help you find methods and tools that work for you, your dogs, and your current life situation. I'm a published author of the book, available on Amazon, Training Through the Eyes of Your Dog. I am excited for you to join me in Dog Training 360, where I will share my successful tips and training methods gained by working with thousands of dogs and their families for over 2 decades. I can't wait to go on this journey together with you and your dog.
Hi everyone, this is Dr. Rebecca Dixon, pediatrician, dog trainer, horseback rider, and animal lover, talking to you from Costa Rica, where I live with my family, including Oxford the Border Terrier and Mocha the German Shepherd. In my United States-based pediatric medical career, I spent 23 years working to improve the lives of children and their families, first through public health research and then as a pediatrician. I spent 8 years as an ICU doctor taking care of children and their families during the most challenging times of their lives, and then 3 years as a community-based general pediatrician. I am a pediatric researcher and published author in the areas of teenage parenting, adolescent health, and pediatric traumatic injury. In the summer of 2021, my wife and I officially embarked on a new adventure by retiring from medicine and moving from the United States to Costa Rica with my 80-year-old mother. Today, I am thriving by immersing myself in a brand new culture and language, learning new sports like surfing, growing vegetables in our yard, and playing with our dogs on the beaches and tropical jungles that surround our new home. For the past 12 years, I've been a boots-on-the-ground regular dog owner, just trying to work full-time and learn how to raise and train my own dogs, including a leash-reactive rescue dog and 2 puppies. Through my life in medicine and my life as a dog owner, I know, based on research and personal experience, that dogs contribute positively to human health. I am super excited to join Dog Training 360 so that I can share my tips, tricks, and learnings with you so that you can improve the relationship that you have with your own dogs.
Hi, everyone. We are talking dogs at Dog Talk today. Joe and Rebecca here, and our topic today is going to be dog aggression. We just talked about leash reactivity, so that podcast pairs with this one. If you haven't listened to it yet, go ahead and give it a listen, because this conversation that we're having right now is going to follow from our leash reactivity discussion. So let's get into dog aggression, Joe. My first question is, how common is dog aggression specifically?
I think it's mistitled a lot because we as human beings don't know the difference between dogs arguing, dogs correcting, and truly dog aggression. And also, just because there is a fight doesn't mean that the dog is aggressive. And so I think it's something that if you feel like your dog is dog aggressive, you really should have it assessed and talk to a trainer. It's not something that you should just put that title on your dog, because it's a pretty big stigma to have. And nobody wants it, but oh, my dog, you know, got angry at the dog park, and so he's dog aggressive. And I hear that a lot. Like, give me the scenario that happened. And most of the time, I would say 99% of the time, it's arguments.
that's happening.
Not aggression.
Not aggression. So aggression. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to kind of summarize this for people that what I hear you saying is that true dog aggression that would be defined dog aggression by behavioralists and dog trainers is small in comparison to the number of people who fear that they have an aggressive dog, because most people see their dog have one fight at the dog park or get in an argument with a dog in the neighborhood and then go down this pathway of saying they have an aggressive dog. And that's when you get contacted.
Yep.
But then when you assess further, you are able to understand that this is not actually a dog aggressive dog. It's a dog who had one or two fights.
Right.
Okay.
Or arguments.
Arguments.
Mm-hmm. So I always ask people, you know, what, give me the context of it. And a lot of times it's really loud and it was scary and I had to pull them apart. And then I ask, was anybody hurt? And they say no. And then I ask, you know, was any, you know, did, was animal control called, or what was the altercation between the human beings? And then what was the context of it all? And most of the time it's just a good argument. And I think that we forget as human beings that we argue. We argue with the people that we live with. And sometimes they can be pretty fierce.
Yeah.
And pretty loud.
Yep.
And slamming doors and people leaving, and you know, it's an argument.
Yep.
And it's on the, you know, it, because we're so sensitive and there's such a fierce domestic violence thing, anything like that can feel more than maybe what is really going on between our dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to kind of keep that into perspective of maybe it was just the wrong dogs at the dog park that day and something triggered, or maybe somebody walked in with some cookies in their pocket. Maybe somebody was throwing a ball and somebody got overstimulated and it just, there was just a reaction to
they
all
just
of that.
Snapped,
and it, yeah.
Like,
yeah. They just got frustrated.
Yeah.
You know, I had to, my Italian Greyhound would race around so fast that he would frustrate the German Shepherds to the point that I would have to stop him, because if they got a hold of him, it wasn't going to be good, because they were getting really frustrated because they couldn't catch him. And so, you know, that could make it feel like it was aggression, because the Shepherds were like, it was full on. I mean, it was just intense, you know, chasing the Italian Greyhound, and it sounded very fierce. So, you really need to talk to somebody about it. When I have a scenario where the dog has, you know, maybe your dog latched on and bit and released, it's a more fierce correction, but it still, to me, is not aggression. It's a pretty firm, harsh correction,
meaning that the dog is correcting, or you is that what you mean?
Yeah,
so the dog is giving a fierce correction.
Yeah, so
to
now
the
we're
other
puncture
dog.
Wounds
uh-huh.
Not, you know, not latching on, but just like I'm sinking my teeth in and letting go,
more than just barking and yelling and snarling.
Yeah Now we've got connection.
Yeah,
so that puts us in a different category, because it's not an accident. The dog didn't accidentally bite the other dog. It was purposeful and it was direct, and needing more information about that, and how severe and where the dog bit, and that whole scenario plays into. So I still wouldn't deem it dog aggression. It was an argument that turned into a fist fight, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Still not okay.
Right.
But not go to prison.
Right. Or you're going to do this every single time you see another human being or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, kids will hit each other.
Right.
You know, they get so frustrated at the playground and they hit each other. So make it okay.
Right.
And you don't condone the behavior, but it still wouldn't put it in the category of aggression.
Okay.
We wouldn't put the child who threw the punch into a anger management program because he's headed to prison.
Right.
It's, we need to have some discipline around it. We need to understand what we need to do to help the child. We need to put the dog into some kind of training. We need to understand maybe we put our dog into that situation that we shouldn't have. And so, again, I'm going to say working with a trainer, whether it's virtually or in person, it's important. I still would not deem that aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
The next stage, and the stage that I would say we have aggression problems, is a dog that, one, no matter what social environment they're in, they're latching on and shaking. They're in a whole different mindset. It's a whole different look to them. I mean, it just is terrifying.
That sounds terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's aggression.
Okay.
And then you have levels of aggression. And so, is it worth euthanizing the dog? No. But do you need to muzzle train the dog? Yes. Do you need to muzzle train a dog that is arguing at the dog park? Potentially. Do you need to muzzle train a dog that is snapping and making contact and creating puncture wounds? Yes. But it doesn't mean that they're aggressive, and it doesn't mean that you can't take them out into social situations. But you need to make sure that everybody is safe, and muzzle training is the answer to that.
Okay. And with these dogs that you've just been discussing, are there downsides to muzzle training?
No.
No.
Well, yes. Yeah. I mean, there's downsides to all tools, right? The downside is you need to make sure that nobody attacks your dog and injures them while they've got the muzzle on, because they can't defend themselves.
Yeah.
So a little bit more controlled social environments.
Yeah. Make sure that your dog doesn't get into a situation with another aggressive dog,
right,
that they can't defend themselves.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
if they're in a generally social situation with social dogs, then that will help protect your dog, actually, because your dog won't get into situations that they can't control themselves.
And aside from the category that I truly deem aggressive, I usually recommend that those people take their, the snapping and creating contact or arguments. I typically tell those people to take their dogs to doggy daycares, because it's very controlled, and the staff really have great knowledge around that type of stuff. And as long as you're honest in telling them that, we need a controlled environment for my dog to be social in, they typically have different yards and different size of dogs and different energy levels. And overall, they're pretty good at, assessing that, as long as you give them all the information and that they feel comfortable, and that your dog passes the greeting tests and all of that, which most of them do.
Yeah.
That it's a good scenario for them to be in, and be in a social environment that you're not a part of that equation.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. A truly dog, aggressive dog, you go on a different journey. You go, you got to have a different lifestyle around it, because it's fierce and it's ugly, and it's not accident that they latch on and start shaking. And you need to be aware of that. And you need to make sure that you're keeping your dog safe, and everybody else's dog safe as well. So it's a change in lifestyle to keep a dog like that in your home. And you need to be prepared for that. And there's never a time that you relax on that at all.
For the life of the dog.
Yeah.
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 Is that something that for the life of the dog, you would be working with a trainer necessarily? Or is it something that at some point, everybody's different, of course, but if it's someone that knows their dog well, that they could get the tools necessary and the knowledge, and then move on. And
you typically will reach a plateau where, maybe you can go walk around, one park because it's a, in general, it's a quieter park and a very controlled park. And you get your dog to that point on a muzzle, and that they're not honing in on dogs and trying to, you know, just like laser eye it on to, I'm going to kill you, type behaviors where they can just walk in that park. So every dog will plateau at where they're going to be at.
Okay.
And that may be that it's, you know, you play ball in your backyard.
Yeah.
And you have to be willing to accept that lifestyle and that change and do more training and controlled type stuff. There's also local clubs that have, you know, Shih Tzu'd and Mondio and French Ring and the sport dog stuff, where it might, you know, get it, have your dog assessed by them and see if, is that an option? Because there is biting there, mm-hmm. and the dog is allowed to bite, and that now your bites become very controlled, but you're also, it's a different lifestyle. You're taking on a huge liability, you know, by doing that. And right. so, you know, there's, you definitely, if you're in that category, you need to 100% work with a trainer and understand what the best direction is to go in.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. So it's, it, there's options and there's options to allow the bite, yep. you know, now we're going to have you bite a bite sleeve instead of a dog.
Right.
And we're going to control that, but we still have to have you on a muzzle when you're out and about.
Right. That doesn't mean that if that bite is allowed on the bite sleeve, then when they're out and about, they're not going to want to bite Correct. Dogs.
Yeah.
It's just giving them a release of, yeah. of what they want to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Naturally.
Mm-hmm. And be okay with
and
it.
And be okay with it yeah. and do it in a controlled, safe way.
Right.
And then keep your dog controlled and safe.
Yeah.
And very controlled right. in all other yep. scenarios.
And there's trainers that will do, you know, group classes that you can isolate your dog more in a box mm-hmm. With a muzzle on. And so you can still be in those environments and the dog knows that, that there's other dogs around them, but you're safe maybe in a cage, not a cage, but a pen, like yeah. a dog run or something yep. that you get to work your dog in.
Yeah.
And in a group scenario. So you have to kind of do some digging and really make sure that the trainer is aware and that they are willing to do muzzle training with you and to keep your dog safe and the other dogs around them. But they are out there and there are, you know, groups out there that will, that are really good that will help you through that as well. So it's not a to me, a dog aggressive dog is not grounds for euthanasia. Unless you as an owner can't be responsible about it and there's no other channel to go down.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense. And one more question then. So you're talking in this whole podcast so far about dog aggression mm-hmm. on another dog.
Yes.
And I asked a similar type question in the leash reactivity mm-hmm. one. Are there dogs who are only dog aggressive and not aggressive to humans? It definitely sounds like yeah. that from this conversation yeah. that you could have a dog that's perfectly fine with humans, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. but it's just the dogs that get them riled yeah. up. Yeah. And then the flip side of that, are there dogs that are aggressive to, that you couldn't be safe with humans around as well?
That you could not be safe?
Correct. That are aggressive to humans as well, mm-hmm. I guess is,
yeah.
is a better way to put it.
It's not as common that you would have a dog aggressive dog that would be a human aggressive dog as well.
Okay.
It's there and I've had those. It's pretty scary. Yeah. Not personally, but, clients. So yeah, it's not common, but it's there.
And that I imagine is another category completely. Mm-hmm. And sounds like you would recommend certainly working with a trainer in yeah. that scenario if that's a dog yeah. that you're dedicated to keeping yeah. and need to make some modifications but would need some lifestyle modifications as yeah. well.
I think completely. Rebecca, we can get into people aggression in this podcast because it kind of falls into the same category of you know, we get leash reactivity, we have different levels of leash reactivity where we have a dog that's leash reactive and dog aggressive and folding into this category where, you know, we have dogs that are, you know, they're leash reactive and dog aggressive in the sense that they just are arguing constantly because they don't feel safe with dogs being off leash and them even being off leash. Yeah. So, you know, you can kind of fall into that where we talked a little bit about, can you have a dog that's reactive on leash and not?
Yep.
Can you have a dog that's reactive on leash and reactive off leash?
Right.
Yes. And it still wouldn't fall under the category of aggression.
Right.
But probably a dog that we would muzzle train so that we can have them off leash. It's not scaring other people, right, because we know that our dog's not going to bite or latch on. They're just yelling.
Right.
And so leash training or muzzle training helps so that we can get our dog out and everybody feel safe.
Yeah.
Because it's scary for dogs to argue.
Yeah.
And then, you know, falling into the category of dog aggressive dogs, which is more common than people aggressive dogs. And the reason why is we tend to, we are the ones that tend to push our dogs onto strange dogs and socialize them inappropriately, which creates this frustration and the arguments. And we are sometimes in denial that our dogs are aggressive. And so we put them, right, in those situations.
Sure.
And then we're also not willing to change our lifestyle because we got this dog to do X, Y, and Z, and we're going to force him into it, and we're not willing to change. And so in the world of domestication and creating and moving these dogs into our lives and our homes, humans have always been a source of survival for dogs. And so it's not common for a dog to be people aggressive.
That makes sense.
And there's certain breeds that are bred for fighting, that are bred to be dog aggressive. And you'll hear all the time, you know, and I'm gonna throw some breeds out there because it is what it is.
Yeah.
The Chow Chow is a fighting dog. The Shar Pei is a fighting dog. The Staffordshire Bull Terrier is a dog fighting dog. And if you get those breeds and your dog doesn't like other dogs, you have to accept that. It's genetically in them.
Yeah.
And so it's, those dogs were bred for fighting, and then the humans kind of come in and save them outside of that fight.
Right.
And so they typically won't turn on the people, even when they're in the middle of the fight.
That makes sense.
And so it's disgusting, but it is what it is.
Yep.
And so a lot of times dogs that are dog aggressive, I mean, it's really uncommon for a dog to be human, both.
Great.
I have had one that the dog was leash aggressive, and she pulled him away, and he turned on her and was out to kill her as well. And I had to get the dog off of her as well. And so that was, you know, the only dog in 25 years that I've had that happen. And so that dog ultimately had to be euthanized because it had no problem turning on people. It would get frustrated. If a dog got close enough, it would latch. I mean, it would snag them and just shake them. And it had killed several dogs. And then it ultimately turned on her. So that whole scenario is not common. I mean, it's just not.
Okay.
But it's there.
Yeah.
But we shouldn't be afraid of it. We shouldn't think that we have it. Dogs that are people aggressive a lot of times will not be aggressive to their main family or the main people that they live with, but aggressive towards people coming in, and outsiders. And if, you know, in that scenario, 100% that you need to work with a trainer.
Yeah.
You need to have your dog muzzle trained. And then it's most of the time, sadly to say, those dogs end up being euthanized because we can't keep our end of the deal up. as human beings.
Yeah. And it does sound like a big end of the deal to keep up.
It is. And it's a huge liability as well. I mean, in some states is a felony to own a human aggressive dog. It is something that you have to take so serious.
Yeah.
And something that you don't mess around with, because one bite, it's not a good journey to go down.
Right.
And your homeowner's insurance, you may lose everything that you have. And so it is something that I take very serious when I have people contact me, and it's something that we have a lot of conversations about. And a lot of times people get lax, and it makes me super nervous when they make the decision to not euthanize, which I don't force anybody. I'll take them on the journey, but they do have to hold up to their end of the deal.
Yeah.
And muzzle being on, whether you feel safe or not.
Yep.
You can't let go 1 minute, because it's such a huge liability around it. So it's not common. And most of the time you can get your dog to a point of being comfortable and good, especially around extended family, you know, that comes over, and you can get to that point, but you just can't trust it.
You can't let your guard down. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
And I've been in homes that I didn't really feel safe, not necessarily because of the dog, but because the people were not being really honest and true about what they had. And they're, you know, little things. Well, we had this situation. And it's because they didn't keep up their end of the deal. And that makes me sad.
Yeah.
So, I also don't believe in passing on, because a dog is people aggressive, that you should just take the dog back and not say anything to when you're surrendering the dog.
Right. Take the dog to a rescue.
To know the whole story.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It just doesn't happen it's not that common. It doesn't happen that often. So be honest about it. And maybe that's not the right, maybe this world is not the right place for your dog to be. And so we shouldn't be afraid, of that, because it is something that's, you can work around, but you need to be prepared for a completely change of lifestyle with that dog.
Yeah.
So it's not common, but it's real and it's there. And you need to work with a trainer without you trying to do things on your own or make it work or try different things because you're not sure how to make it work. You really need to contact a trainer and work with a trainer that is familiar and that can give you all the tools and all the information that you need to make the right decisions around the dog that you have.
Thank you for being a part of our dog training podcast. Our goal is to help you train through the eyes of your dog. We want you to go on amazing adventures and accomplish all your dog training goals. For more dog training adventure, read our blog and join our dog training community at dogtraining360.com. You can find us on Instagram at dog_training_360 and all other social media channels from TikTok to LinkedIn under dogtraining360. We would love it if you shared your dog training journey with us. Now let's get into training.